We should just play that Kim Kardashian interview and pretend it's happening right now.
Well, you wouldn't remember it if we did it again. So,
hey, producer Lindsay, let's get Kimmy K on the show.
Okay, yeah, I'll get right on that.
Okay, good. What's going on, guys? Thank you very much for being out there. Thank you very much for listening. We absolutely appreciate you. Last night, a dramatic game 6 down in the bubble as the Oklahoma City Thunder beat the Houston Rockets. That will force a game 7 tomorrow night, and the winner of that game will face the Lakers in the Western Conference semifinals starting Friday night. So, John, your boy Russell Westbrook. What can you say about Russell Westbrook?
Well, first of all, let me extend a hearty thank you to Chris Paul and the Oklahoma City Thunder. Michael and I were elated last night because it buys the Lakers more rest. It buys us more rest. We have 2 more days off.
Wait a minute, wait a minute. Do you need more rest?
Well, we don't. We'd rather have the nights off than we want this to drag out as long as possible.
As possible, right, right.
Because it gives us, well, for me and you, it gives us more stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
And it just gives Michael and I more stuff to do.
So what's wrong with Russell Westbrook?
I think he's trying to force stuff. But here's, you know, if they lose tomorrow night.
He threw that game away.
If they lose tomorrow night, I think that means D'Antoni's out. I think our guy Daryl Morey's out. I think it's a complete revamp in Houston if they don't get this done. Now, having said that, I think they will win tomorrow, don't you?
I like OKC for the win.
What?
I like OKC for the win.
You said it yesterday on the show, OKC had no chance.
Yeah, no, but I watched them last night. Based on new information, I'm taking OKC.
Man, I hope you're right.
You know, they are such a clutchy team. I did some sassy stat work today, and last night was their 33rd clutch win. That means 5 minutes or less, game within 5 points. Their 33rd clutch win to lead the NBA. Clutchy, and Chris Paul is clutchy.
And at the end of games, he's who you want with the ball.
Yeah, now, scored 15 of his 28 in the fourth quarter.
All right, so end of the game. The Thunder are up 2. Chris Paul makes those free throws.
Yep.
How does Harden not get the ball?
Yeah, that's the big question. Why does Harden not have the
ball?
And
if you watch that play, and I've watched that play a couple of times, Westbrook wants the ball. Like, he's into it. He's driving down the court. Now, he throws it away, which is why Harden should have had it.
Yep.
But watch Harden on that play. He doesn't look like a guy who wants the ball.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah, it's weird. And this was the dynamic in Oklahoma City when Durant and Harden and Westbrook were all there. It was like Russ wanted the ball, and those other guys are just like, well, whatever. Don't you, if you're a star player, don't you like if that was Utah,
you want
Donovan
that moment.
Mitchell's
you
getting
want
the
that
ball.
Shot. Yeah.
If that's Denver, Jamal Murray's getting the ball. If that's Miami, Jimmy Butler's getting the ball.
If that's Utah, that's Spider Mitchell getting the ball. Those guys are hot. I don't get it. But
and
I
is
will,
it his
but
fault or is it Russ's fault?
I'm going to say this. I love Daryl Morey. He is a great guy, and I love the science experiment. But I think they were a better team with Chris Paul than they are with Russell Westbrook.
Well,
they were a better team with Chris Paul, who they traded straight up for Russell Westbrook. Do you agree?
Well, they gave up a ton. They gave up first round draft picks,
all that stuff. Yeah. But if you just were to flip players, wouldn't you rather have Chris Paul than Russell Westbrook?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Even after last night?
Well, last night's one game.
But Chris Paul is a clutch guy at the end of games.
He has been this year.
Yeah, I mean,
he was unable to get the Clippers out past the second round.
Right, right.
And he had help on the Clippers. He had
I would argue
Griffin
too,
and DeAndre Jordan,
don't
and
you
he
think
had
that,
Doc Rivers.
Don't you think that Houston team with Chris Paul and James Harden would have gone further had they not run into the Warriors 2 years in a row?
I think there was an issue between Harden and CP3.
I don't think those guys like each other?
I know it.
Oh, wow. And this is what you get then.
Right. Well, Chris Paul has alienated a lot of people. He's hard to play with. But you know what's interesting about this? It's kind of the same with Jimmy Butler. Both Jimmy Butler and Chris Paul have now been on three teams in the last 3 years. Both of them. Six different teams. Every time they leave, the team they left gets worse and the team they go to gets better.
Absolutely.
And the reason for that is they are incredibly demanding.
Right.
And they are incapable of BS.
But aren't great players typically really demanding? Isn't that part of what makes a great player?
But the problem is that coaches and GMs and other teammates don't like it. And so you have to make a decision. It's either keep the guy, or in the case of Houston, do you get rid of Harden?
No, I don't get rid of Harden.
Okay, so then there's your choice. You got to get rid of CP3. And in the case of
they weren't that far away.
They
took Golden State to 7 and they took Golden State to 6 last year.
Right. You don't remember the whole incident in the locker room after the Golden State series?
I do.
Yeah,
I remember.
They were done. I mean, Harden, it was either Harden basically.
Yeah, it's too bad because they were a better team. They'd be more of a threat.
And this happens all the time in sports, by the way. This happened with, you know, if you go back to Kobe and Shaq, this happened, you know, in Minnesota, Jimmy Butler said, "You guys are all soft and none of you guys give a crap." And he basically told Tom Thibodeau, "Give me the scrubs under the end of the bench and I'll take on your whole starters and I'll kick their ass." And he did in a scrimmage. And he talked crap to him the whole time.
But in the end, John, Westbrook in those final 2 minutes, one air ball, one missed layup, two turnovers.
How about this? In the last 5 minutes, Chris Paul outscored Harden and Westbrook combined.
Yeah,
he was a much better player last night. Now, I don't know if that means Oklahoma City can win a game seven. You know, tonight's an interesting game seven.
It is.
On paper, Denver should win that. Denver has better players. But somehow Donovan Mitchell has found a way to get Utah 3 wins in that series.
Whichever player, Jamal Murray or Donovan Mitchell, gets to 50, that team will win.
But here's the thing.
Scoring 40 and 50 every game.
Right. Dave, here's a saucy stat.
It's not saucy, it's sassy.
Yeah, sassy sounds a little soft.
You think so?
What do you think, George?
No, sassy sounds good.
Yeah, sassy's good. Yeah. Sassy stands out. People remember sassy. People don't remember saucy.
No, saucy's better.
Like saucy. No.
No. What? Saucy's what?
It's like something you say when you're cooking. Like, oh, it's saucy.
Exactly.
that delicious sauciness.
Yeah. Either way.
Put up a poll.
Mitchell.
I'm putting up a poll.
Okay, good. Mitchell and Murray have combined for more points over the last 3 games than any opponents in NBA history.
Wow.
Over a 3-game stretch. The record they broke was Michael Jordan and Charles Barkley in the finals back in the early 90s. But these guys have scored something like an insane amount of points. But they're basically both averaging 40 points a game.
Yep.
If you're Quinn Snyder, or if you're Mike Malone, why didn't you do what the Lakers did to Damian Lillard? And every time he comes across half court, say, "You're not beating us."
Pick him up, turn him.
Remember all the Laker coaches getting off the bench yelling, "Box, box,
yep,
box."
Yep, they made him work hard.
Well, no, they made him get rid of the ball.
Right.
Jamal Murray is unconscious. If I'm Utah, every time he brings the ball across half court, I send a second defender at him. And if Nikola Jokic gets 50 points, I'll live with it. But I'm not going down with Jamal Murray getting 50 on me again. And same thing with Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah.
Second he comes across half court, I'm putting him in a box. And if Rudy Gobert wants to score 40 points, I'll live with that. But I'm not living with Donovan Mitchell dropping 50 on me, because what you just said is true. If either one of those guys gets 50, their team will win.
Yeah. All right. Here's the deal. We got a gigantic show today. And I want you guys to pay attention to this, because we are absolutely loaded. First of all, we pay attention to everything we say, because we're giving away that brand new 2021 Mazda CX,
CX-30
from OC Mazda. Unbelievable ride. And pay attention to everything we say, because something we say today is going to be on the pop quiz on Friday. Something from every day this week. Friday, you can win a $100 gas card plus one of only 4 keys that could start that brand new Mazda 2021 Mazda CX-30. So,
and two of the keys are already gone. So
yeah,
there's only two left.
Yep, and the drawing is coming up on the 14th of September. Coming up for you at 1:15 next is Kyle Goon from the OC Register. He's down in the bubble. A little bit later on, Bill Plunkett joins us. David Schoenfeld will join us. Got an interesting piece about the Dodgers. All kinds of stuff going on, but we'll go live to the bubble next with Kyle Goon, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
That's right. Don't miss Keyshawn in the Morning. Every morning, my alarm goes off at 5:55 a.m. so I can tune in and listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. I love that show. It's fantastic.
Honest answer. When's the last time you were up at 5:55 a.m.? Mine was today.
Yours was today. Mine was... cannot remember the last time I was up at that time.
That's what I figured.
Cannot remember. I love my sleep, man. I love my sleep.
Well, I bet you Kyle Goon from the Southern California News Group was up at 5:45 because where he is, that's 8:45.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, Kyle.
He's in the bubble.
Kyle Goon joins us now from the bubble. Hey, Kyle, how are you, man?
Hey, guys. I was not up at 8:45.
You weren't?
I've rarely been up at 8:45. The morning.
Good for you.
We have 9 p.m. tips every night. Come on.
Oh, I didn't think about that. Yeah. So now, did you go to the game last night? Did you go to the Houston OKC game?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
so
watched the Rockets Thunder and watched Chris Paul hit some big shots. Watched Russell Westbrook throw away a golden chance to win the series. And
yep.
Tanya Ganguly and I high-fived because we didn't have to write off it. So.
Yeah, there was a lot of – Michael and I were doing the same thing, Kyle. Michael Thompson and I were texting at the time, and it bought us two extra days off, so we'll take it. But before we get into the Lakers, let me ask you this. End of the game, I know everybody's criticizing Westbrook, and he deserves it. He had six turnovers, and he didn't play well. But it didn't seem to me like Harden made a big attempt to get the ball or that he even wanted the ball. Do you agree with that?
I mean, it's kind of hard because it was a little bit of a bang bang. I mean, if you remember the play, it just like Russ took the ball and brought it up. And obviously in that situation, like if you're the Thunder, you do not want Harden taking that shot. I mean, he was abusing, Dennis Schroeder all night. And you don't want him to take that shot. So you're probably ball denying him. And Russ is the guy you want with the ball in his hands because, I mean, frankly, Russ hasn't been out of a first-round series in a long time, and there are reasons for that. And even though he was rusty, even though that might be true that he'll play better in Game 7, I mean, he's a tough player to advance with for a couple reasons.
So do you think – we were just arguing about this. Do you think the Rockets were better with Chris Paul – than they are with Russell Westbrook?
That's hard because they've, it's not just that the change is Chris Paul, right? I mean, they've totally bought into this small ball scheme. The rotation is very tight. You know, they traded away Clint Capella, who was such a foundational part of those teams as a role man. And they don't really have that same kind of dynamic anymore. I think the best Rockets team was with Chris Paul that year that they took Golden State very close and dropped that. That was it. Game 7? Yeah, I think it was Game 7.
Right. Paul got hurt.
Hit a three.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was. I think that team was better than this team. But you know, it is a very fun dynamic to watch this series and see the Chris Paul. I mean, Chris. Who did he tap on the butt yesterday? Was it Robert Covington after hitting a shot?
Yeah.
And he's really letting him feel it.
Well, it's he's going full Kaiser Soze, Kyle. I mean, it's like the ultimate revenge game for him. They traded him to a team. They tried to send him to Siberia, and they figured that, you know, he'd be on a 20-win team for 3 years and have that giant contract, and he's completely reversed it. So good for him. Let me talk to you about the Lakers. I've thought the last two games the Lakers have played is what everybody else around the league is worried about, that LeBron James and Anthony Davis would click on the same night. And now they've done it two games in a row. Kyle, have you noticed any difference in the way LeBron and AD are playing together, or is this just an extension of what they found right before the pandemic?
I mean, I think it is a little bit of that second thing. And in my mind, I mean, going into the Blazers series, I was like, the Blazers do not have any kind of counter for Anthony Davis. That's what doomed them 2 years ago, and that is what would doom them now. But to me, the key question in that series and in every series to come is, does Anthony Davis believe that? Does Anthony Davis, who had played 13 playoff games coming this postseason as opposed to, you know, LeBron's like 245 or whatever the count is. Anthony Davis just hasn't had that breadth of experience and sometimes just plays very tentatively. And I think the key for the Lakers that really unlocked that series was, you saw in game two, in that second half, Anthony Davis really kind of found his game both ways and defensively really funneled. The guards are really funneling, you know, Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum into him. And then on the other end, he just sort of destroyed matchups, and that helped him find his mid-range shot. So as good as LeBron was in the first series, to me, the key to the Lakers advancing has always been Anthony Davis's belief in himself. And I think that is just, I think it was a good sign for the Lakers that those last four games of the series, he really seemed to find that stride. And if he can keep that up, I mean, I think there's a real high ceiling for this team.
Looking at, there's going to be a game seven, obviously, Houston and OKC. Which one of those teams matches up better with, or who do the Lakers want to avoid? That's a better question.
You know, LeBron James said it himself yesterday. He's cheering on Chris Paul after the game. Says, put some respect on Chris Paul's name. And to me, that was LeBron giving a nod to which team he'd rather see. You know, the Lakers have beaten, if I'm remembering correctly, they're 3-0 against the Thunder, and they're 1-2 against the Rockets. And I'm not saying the Rockets would beat them in a series, but it's been harder to figure out, and the dynamic of their offense is hard because you want to double Harden. You want to make it difficult on him, but the existence of Russell Westbrook really complicates that, and they haven't really found an individual guy to guard Harden, and they haven't really found an individual guy to guard Russ, who are just so different players, and having both of them on the floor makes it really hard to double. So I think there are some things that the Lakers would do well in a series with the Rockets, and certainly their size would be really tough for the Rockets to counter, and again, Anthony Davis, I think, would be a key matchup there. But, I mean, it just the way they want to play, and keeping some of their size on the floor, like JaVale's, they've really tried to keep JaVale and Dwight Howard on the floor. Like, I think they would certainly prefer to play the Thunder, especially when you look at the season-long series.
We're talking to Kyle Goon from the Southern California News Group. He covers the Lakers for the Orange County Register and a lot of other papers. Kyle, give me a sense of, last week has to be one of the weirdest weeks of your career. I mean, you'll remember it forever. With it looked like the bubble might shut down, then it came back. Everybody was a little restless. Social justice ran to the forefront. And now my understanding is in the bubble that they're allowing players' families to come in because there's more hotel rooms, more space, that some of these other teams have gone home. Two more teams are going to go home over the next 2 days. Has that changed the mood as far as you can tell? Has that changed anything that family members are being allowed into the bubble now?
Yeah, and I mean, think about it this way, and I do not, absolutely do not want to take away from the social justice movements and achievements that were drawn out of last week. I mean, I think
it's very clear that some very strong positives, you know, hopefully for society, were drawn out of what happened last week, even though it was, you know, a bit improvised and organic in nature and caught a lot of people off guard. But you also have to look at the timeline and say, you know what, like, this is about halfway through the bubble. This happened halfway through the bubble. Guys are ground down. That, like, for the best teams, the light at the end of the tunnel is still a long way away. The families had not arrived yet, and were not allowed into the bubble yet. Like, it makes sense that sense of just grind and, you know, some strain would add to what was happening off the floor. And I think guys were really troubled, obviously, by the shooting of Jacob Blake and some of the fallout in Kenosha. But I also think that there was just a lot of strain for guys who had been here almost 2 months. And especially for the teams that still have a long way to go, you kind of have to think, you know, is if we feel like we aren't accomplishing the goals we want to accomplish, you know, is it worth trying to play it out when I have to make all these other sacrifices in my personal life? So I think one had to do with the other. And I have seen some guys around with their families, around with their kids, just sort of off the cuff. And I think it is relaxing. I mean, you never quite know what's going to happen when you introduce families and that dynamic into this environment, which has basically up till now been a workplace. But I think it has helped. And I think it is just sort of soothing to see loved ones. And certainly it could be when they get to go to the games.
Right. Well, listen, Kyle, thank you very much for coming on, man. We appreciate it. Good luck down there in the bubble. Who do you like, by the way, in that Game 7? First of all, who do you like tonight in Game 7? And then who do you like tomorrow in Game 7?
Yeah, I'm going to ride with my history here. I used to cover the Utah Jazz. I covered Donovan Mitchell's rookie year. I think what he's done is amazing. Would love to see a Jazz-Clippers series. So I'm going to ride with the Jazz, and tomorrow night I do think that talent prevails and the Rockets advance, but Chris Paul is going to make it easy, and it's been a lot of fun to watch.
Kyle, thank you for doing this, man. Stay safe down there.
Yeah, you too. Have a good one.
All right. There is Kyle Goon from the bubble for the Southern California News Group. By the way, who do you like tonight, John? Why don't you tell me next?
Well, I like Denver, but there's a big if there.
Okay.
And Mace, yesterday on the show, you said the Rams, in your mind, your team, the Rams, are set at running back, and you have no interest in Leonard Fournette.
None.
I'm going to give you another name, and I bet you it's going to change your position.
Okay.
On you're all set at running back. Wait till I tell you who might be available, and I think you're going to change your tune.
Okay.
We got that coming up, too.
All right, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
That's 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Chris Morales working hard. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. We put together quite a team for you here in our new time slot, 1 to 4 every day. We got us Lindsay, our producer. Linz, thank you.
I'm here.
Okay,
we
got Jorge.
4-0, Jorge. 4-0.
4-0, Jorge. That's right. And, of course, Chris Morales is working all of our imaging stuff, really cool stuff he's doing on the ins and the outs. And it is a big time in sports. All of a sudden, everything is going to be going on simultaneously. I cannot believe that a week from Thursday is opening night in the NFL. A week from Thursday. Opening night in the NFL, and by the way, 4 days later, 3 days later, Rams Cowboys at SoFi Stadium. No fans allowed. But Sunday Night Football at SoFi Stadium, Rams and Cowboys. So John, you say you're going to move me on this running back situation with the Rams. I, for one, believe they spent a really high pick on Cam Akers because they believe he's the guy. They also have Darrell Henderson, who they spent a third-round pick on last year or 2 years ago. And they've got Malcolm Brown, who's always been a solid and capable guy, stepping in for Todd Gurley in the last couple of years. I'm not a fan of bringing in Leonard Fournette, but you say you can change my mind on we're set on the running back position.
Remember Josina Anderson, who used to work at ESPN?
Of course.
Okay, she's now doing some work, apparently, at Bleacher Report.
Okay.
And she has just tweeted that the Saints are open to trading Alvin Kamara. What's that do for you?
Well, I love Alvin Kamara. I've made the argument that I think Alvin Kamara is one of the most dangerous open field players in the National Football League. He's really tough to get a handle on and to bring down. I love Alvin Kamara. But again, how do you – you've got $4 million under the cap. And you just lost your inside linebacker. I should mention that. The Rams just had a major injury, and he is gone for the year. Inside linebacker – shoot, I cannot find his name now.
Well, here's – this would be a trade. You'd be sending out – I'm sure the Saints would want draft picks. Now, the Rams would have to go pretty far into the future.
It's Traven Howard, by the way.
Traven Howard is what?
Well, if you can't even remember
his
name,
that I'm not out for the season.
Yeah, I'm not all that worried that he was that big of a concern to you if you can't remember his name. But Alvin Kamara, you would never forget his name, and it depends on what the Saints would want. They've already given most of their draft picks up in.
Yeah, they don't have a lot of picks.
In the Ramsey trade, right?
Yes.
Jacksonville has their next number one, but maybe they've got some number ones after that. I don't know. I need to look at it. They gave up some also when they traded for, was it Dante Fowler they gave up some picks for?
Yep, they did.
You'd have to get creative. But if you can get Kamara, absolute game changer overnight. Changes your team is the second you pick him up.
Yeah. John, if I've got maneuverability, if I've got flexibility and I'm in the Rams, I know Alvin Kamara is a really big star. But I need offensive line help. I need linebacker help with the injury to Traven Howard. You've got other issues that you need to address, more importantly than running back. So I'm not going to move the world and a bunch of draft picks for Alvin Kamara.
It depends what they ask for. I'd have to see what it looks like, but if you can get him, I think you kick the tires on that for sure. And I think
absolutely kick the tires. He's entering his 25-year-old season. He's never rushed for 1,000 yards, which is surprising. He's great out of the backfield catching the football. He does a lot of damage that way. But he's not your traditional bell cow running back. They've always had two running backs in New Orleans running at exactly the same time. So he can be part of a stable. He's not necessarily your main guy. But, yeah, I'm not gonna give the world away for Alvin Kamara.
Well, again, you have to look and see what the deal is. But Kamara, I think the Rams – every time – like the Rams –
Do you realize that he's never run for 1,000 yards?
Right, but he's never been given that chance. I mean, he's always been kind of their Reggie Bush type back where they bring him out of the backfield and throw to him. But I just think the guy score every time you give him the ball, he could score.
And he's unbelievably dangerous. I agree. And sign me up for Cam Akers. I'm all in on Cam Akers, John.
Apparently.
The year of Cam Akers.
Oh, God. Here we go.
Offensive rookie of the year.
All right. So you asked me who I think is going to win these game sevens. Okay.
Yep.
I think Denver's going to win, but it depends which one of these coaches decides to throw a trap at either Mitchell or Murray. One of these coaches could lose the series for his team. I always laugh when the night Kobe had 81 points, Sam Mitchell never double-teamed him. He never sent a second defender at him. He just said, well, we'll let Kobe get his and we'll stop everybody else. And Kobe just kept going. And if you talk to like Jalen Rose about that game, who was on that Toronto team, he'll say that in the huddle, they were all screaming at him, let's trap him. Let's take the ball out of his hands. And Sam Mitchell wouldn't do it. There are some coaches that are just stubborn and don't want to trap. don't want to double team. Mace, why wouldn't you double team both of those guys? If either one of those guys goes for 50 tonight,
right,
it's a defensive letdown, isn't it?
It is. It is. And I'm trying to think who's got the better complementary cast. If you do decide we're going to take Jamal Murray out of it, we're going to take Donovan Mitchell out of it, who is the next guy up for those teams?
Well, for Denver, it would be Jokic.
Jokic, right.
And for Utah, I don't think they have one. I think it would have to be somebody like Jordan Clarkson or Mike Conley or Rudy Gobert, who are good players,
yep,
but probably aren't going to get 40.
Right. So you're saying if Denver takes Mitchell out of the game,
they win.
They win. And the reverse.
And if if Utah takes Murray out of the game, they can win. Now, what happens if both coaches wake up and throw traps at both players?
Then I think all bets are off.
Well, then I think Denver's got the better, you know, they can give the ball to Jokic. They can give the ball to Michael Porter Jr., who really,
yep,
hasn't had a big game yet.
No, not yet.
Jeremy Grant's been good for them. They've got Paul Millsap could score. Utah, they don't have Bogdanovich, who was their second leading scorer all season behind Mitchell. And you would have to have somebody like Clarkson, Conley, or Gobert go off. So that's why I'm
right,
picking Denver.
All right. So, John, there was a UFO near the LAX on Sunday night. Have you heard about this?
No, but I'm interested. I'm a firm believer in UFOs. What exactly did somebody see?
I will explain it to you next. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
That's our killer afternoon drive show. George and LZ, Mason in Ireland, what is going on? So, John put up a poll a little while ago. Should we call them sassy stats or saucy stats? Which way do you think it's going?
Oh, it's saucy, easy. I actually, did you see my latest tweet to Morales?
No, I did not.
All right, so I'm just going to point out some facts here. Definition of saucy, okay?
Yeah.
Bold and lively, smart looking.
Okay.
Definition of sassy, pert. A sassy red handbag. And I asked the question to Morales, is he sure it's me that's got the branding wrong? He's the one who wants to use sassy. He's trying to compare us to a sassy red handbag. I don't know what
Morales gave it that nickname to kind of like poke fun at the fact that Mason has all these sassy stats.
They are sassy.
No, they're bold and lively and smart looking. They're saucy. They're not a sassy red handbag, Mace.
Morales says this is nonsense. It's not going to be saucy stats. We aren't rewarding Ireland for getting the branding wrong.
Hey,
that's
Morales,
what Morales says.
Quit start trying to compare us to Pert, a sassy red handbag. We want bold and lively, smart looking. Now, what's the poll say so far?
It is 67% say saucy.
Exactly. People
vote
up.
No matter what I put on my timeline, people always vote against me. People vote against me every time. No matter what poll I put up, people will vote against me.
Well,
I'll tell you what. Let's pivot here because one of the sassiest and sauciest reporters we know is Dodger beat writer Bill Plunkett from the Southern California News Group. Saucy, what's up?
This is the kind of thing that gets you demoted to midday.
Exactly. Exactly. So, Bill, I'm glad we found you. Thank you for doing this. I have many questions.
Oh, it's so hard to find, John.
Yeah. Well, yesterday you were like involved in a breaking story. They had just traded Stripling, and Andrew Friedman was coming out to say what. Now that you've heard what Friedman had to say, I was surprised they traded Stripling, Bill, just because I figured they'd want depth at that position. I know Stripling was not pitching well. I know Gonsolin looks better than Stripling, but so many, Bill, you've been coming on this show with us for years. Every year we've had you, they've had a starter go down, and in many years it's been Kershaw. Why trade Stripling for two players to be named later, in your opinion? Why did they do it?
They took an asset that they no longer had much, if any, use for and turned it into two potential assets down the road. If you think of it like the trade with the Reds when they moved Puig and Kemp and Wood and got back a package of prospects, Jeter Downs being one of them, who was then part of the package that got them Mookie Betts. You know, you'd spin it out. Maybe one of these guys ends up being part of the package that gets them Francisco Lindor next winter. Or, you know, whoever they need at the trade deadline next year. They really had very little use for Ross Stripling right now. So they moved him to get two pieces that maybe they will have use for.
How close were they? Because there were, you and I texted a little bit yesterday. How close were they to looking at a potential deal for Josh Hader from the Brewers?
Doesn't sound like it went much beyond very preliminary conversations. I think there were a limited number of players that they bothered to pursue at the deadline. And I think Hader was a call they made. Lance Lynn was probably multiple calls that they made. Mike Clevenger probably, you know, call that they made. And not much beyond that. I mean, they were not going to look for a bat, even though they're numbers against left-handed pitching aren't very good. They think, internally that'll right itself. So they were very limited in their targets. And they're not willing to pay big for those guys. Because, I mean, let's be honest, they have the best chance of winning the World Series of any team in baseball right now. Why overpay to maybe move that needle half a percentage higher? It wasn't a risk or a price that they were willing to take.
Bill, the most active team yesterday was San Diego. The Padres, I think at one point, traded for six different people. How much better did they get, in your opinion?
Oh, considerably. Definitely considerably. Look at the rotation they're going to be able to throw in a playoff series now. Clevenger, Paddock, Garrett Richardson, Denelson Lamet, who's been terrific at times. So that part of the team was upgraded tremendously. They thought that Paddock would develop into an ace this year. He's been a little inconsistent, hasn't risen to that yet. They thought maybe Garrett Richards might rediscover what he had with the Angels a few years ago. He's been kind of inconsistent. So they put Clevenger into that now, and they have an ace. And their catchers were the worst hitting catchers in baseball by far. The guy they picked up from Seattle, Aaron Nola, improves that just the minute he gets off the plane. So yeah, they've done some work. Their bullpen's a little better with Rosenthal, so you know they've upgraded considerably.
So are they the second best team in the National League now?
Yeah, I think so. I think they already were, and maybe they closed the gap a little bit. It all comes down to the matchups in October. And the way the format is this year, you can throw all your, you know, previous notions about playoffs out the window. I mean, they're going to be playing in empty stadiums and then in a bubble. So home field is practically meaningless. The matchups are going to be different because there's going to be eight teams. So October is just going to be even more of a crapshoot than it normally is.
We're talking to Bill Plunkett, who covers the Dodgers for the Southern California News Group. We had one of your colleagues, Kyle Laguna, on earlier, Bill.
Coast to coast.
It's Southern California News Group Day.
Yeah, it's a register
That's
day here.
Right.
Bill, if...
You know what that is. That just means that we take your calls and that, you know, that other publication...
We couldn't get the Times. We were unable to reach anybody from the LA Times. Both Bill Shakin and Tanya Ganguly turned us down. So
yeah,
we ended up with you and Kyle.
Every week, so you guys can't get them.
Very sorry. All right, so Bill, I'm going to go completely off the board here. You are a proud Michigan State alum.
Oh,
yeah, absolutely.
Mason and I have been debating this college football thing. That's what we both think. We think shut the thing down. It's not worth it. But boy, it seems like Big Ten people really, really want to play. And I was wondering if you were on that boat. It sounds like you're not.
No, I it's not worth the risk. You guys have talked about this plenty, I'm sure. It just doesn't. I don't see how you play football without exposing every one of those players to an immense risk for the virus. Just, you know, one water boy shows up and he, you know, tested positive, and it's going to spread through that program like wildfire. It already has in a few places. So, no. And as a Michigan State fan, we have a new football coach this year, so cancel the football season. But we have a really good basketball team, so make sure you play college basketball.
Ah, there you go. There you go. Pivot back to the coronavirus. Baseball all of a sudden seems to be doing really, really well at containing this. What are they doing different?
I don't think they're doing a whole lot different, but I think the players are paying a lot more serious attention to the protocols. I think that happened when the Marlins breakout. I think there was a messaging within the sport from the union and from MLB reminding players how precarious this season is, and that knuckleheads like Clevinger and Plesac, who go out on the town in Chicago, can't be tolerated. And I think the most effective way to police that is by other players. And I think that has taken hold a little better since the Marlins breakout. You still see little, stories here and there of positives, but not very many among the players. So I just think it's a concerted effort on their part to take things more seriously.
All right. Hey, listen, Bill, thank you very much for coming on. We appreciate it as always. Very, very sassy and saucy appearance for you.
I look forward to talking to you in your next time slot.
Yeah, it'll
excellent.
They'll change it in a year. We know that.
We keep moving. We're on the move, man. We're on the move.
It may be a podcast, Bill, at this rate. You never know.
Everybody's a podcast. Yeah.
Yes, they are. All right, Bill, thanks, man. We appreciate it.
See you guys.
All right, coming up next for you, The Scoop. Everything else going on in sports that we haven't had a chance to talk about yet today. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.